It's Monday.
It's January 12th.
And the word of the day is imordnilap, which means a word that produces another word when spelled backwards. Used in the sentence, the phrase imordnilap palindrome is an imordnilap palindrome.
Okay, you can't just make up a word that's another word backwards and then define it as a new word. It's like me putting two letters in a crossword box, okay?
Whereas, ironically, given the new pope, Bob is now both a palindrome and a pal in Rome. So that's fun. I'm Michael Marshall.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And broadcasting delayed from America's Far Center and across the pond, we are the Skeptocrats.
On this week's episode, we'll talk about the most dangerous ice on the roads.
Elon Musk takes another step towards making Twitter truly the everything app.
And the original 6-7 is a sex thing that came from Monica Geller on Friends. That's important.
But first, the rest of the intro music.
Joining me for headlines tonight are my fellow Skeptocrats, Michael Marshall and Eli Bosnick. Gentlemen, happy new year. Any resolutions for a super chill 2026?
I want to enable fascists. And I'm on GLP-1s now. I'm a GLP-1 baddie.
Okay, so. Just the one answer.
So my resolution is to finally get the guest room in the house sorted, but mostly because it's going to need to be available when one of you guys need to flee Trump's GOP Gestapo. But it's going to be nice. Yeah. It'll be fine. There'll be cushions. It'll be lovely.
Ooh, I like cushions.
I love a British guest room? It's the opposite of American guest room. You stay in an American guest room, it doesn't seem that they ever wanted to use their house, let alone the guest room. A British guest room already has your favorite flavor of tea right by the pillow.
Ooh, is there tea ready?
There isn't.
You failed the motherland, sir.
For a long time, there genuinely was a single cracker from cheese and crackers kind of thing, like a Jacob's wafer cracker there. And it's because I think at one point, one of our guests was eating biscuits in their room and then left it lying around. And we were tidying that room. And we're like, oh, that biscuit, that we need to throw it away. And we put it on the little the mantelpiece on the fireplace that's in the guest room. And then we forgot about it because we don't go in that room. And then a friend stayed over and wondered why we'd left them a single Jacob's.
Santa Claus
on the mantelpiece. Yeah.
Hey, that Tim Tam you left me fucking sucked.
Dry.
So dry. So
I felt like it was maybe 6 or 7 years old, that Tim Tam.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I definitely ate it, but it was dry. All right, good to know. Let's talk about the fucking news. In our lead story tonight, Donald Trump's New Year's resolution was peace on earth. So we're gonna be starting 2026 with violence on Earth caused by Donald Trump.
Yep.
It's a really, really bad set of headlines to start. But before we get to that stuff, before we get to the violence, we're going to talk about the thing that nobody forgot about, even though Trump tried really hard to bury it in the news cycle of the holidays and then bury it some more with insane military action and violence. Donald Trump fucked some kids. So, okay, we don't have any direct evidence yet, but I'm pretty sure that happened. I mean, or I guess counter narrative, or he was a decades long friend of the most notorious pedophile of all time, including after that guy was convicted of pedophile sex crimes. They flew around on a fuck jet. He wrote that guy a birthday letter about their shared love of, well, some other secret hobby of Jeffrey Epstein, maybe papier-mâché, decoupage. I don't know what he's into. Trump also sent one of his DOJ lackeys to have a secret deposition with Ghislaine Maxwell, and he spent all of 2025 trying to prevent the release of the documents that would clear his name, assuming there's nothing incriminating in there. So it's one of those two options, I guess.
Okay, or maybe Trump was actually an undercover spy tasked with befriending the pedo Jeffrey Epstein in order to gather intel, and now he's just holding back all his documents in order to preserve his cover. You know, we haven't ruled that one out yet, technically. Sure. You can have that one for free, Donald, for when bombing Cuba or wherever you go next still doesn't distract people from the Epstein files. You can have that one as your excuse.
I'm sure he'll be using that. Fuck. All right, well, we finally got the first tranche of documents from the Epstein files right before Christmas. And then the FBI immediately announced the existence of 1 million more documents that hadn't been mentioned.
Oh, that Mar-a-Lago bathroom strikes again.
It's really, the cupboards are much deeper than you think.
Stacked up in there. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes with those documents. But in terms of the ones we got, the idiot who was supposed to make redactions in the batch for public release, he didn't kick in the $6.99 for Adobe Pro or just do the free trial and cancel because that's hard to remember to cancel. And you end up signing up for Rocket Money and then you end up needing Rocket Money to shut down your Rocket Money subscription. It's a whole thing. Bottom line, a bunch of the redacted stuff was actually just blacked out with the text layer still very much there in the PDF. So it was all visible if you just copied and pasted those parts into a new file. They're idiots.
Okay, but the redaction thing is amazing, especially because it either happened because everyone who was competent at the FBI has left and the Kash Patel hires are all too incompetent to redact something properly, or there are still some competent agents left and they did this deliberately to undermine the cover-up. Or, as you say, they didn't have access to the full Adobe suite, but that's because their subscriptions were cancelled by Doge as a cost-cutting measure.
That is an amazing true detail of this,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's like all of the possible options are rakes that the Trump's team have carefully laid out, and now it's just a matter of which one they happen to have stood on.
Yeah. We actually stood on both at the same time. It was sort of a hop gesture.
Yeah, seriously.
You're forgetting a hop gesture.
I mean, the stupidity might be like the only way we get the truth. It's like, I don't know, like, it's like
so
50-50 that like Trump's going to email Pam Bondi like, hey, erase all my pedophile documents, burn the pedophile documents that I have. And he's going to CC Jeffrey Goldberg at the Atlantic by accident.
Do you guys,
we're going to find out like
do
that.
Do you guys remember when Marco Rubio handed him a secret note during a press conference and he read it out loud in the microphone?
Okay, is the best solution here for like one of the major newspapers or the news agencies that aren't currently like owned by Trump's like friends to appoint as head someone who's got a very similar name to Kristi Noem or a very similar name to Kash Patel, so he'll certainly email them by mistake if they just get those two people confused. That's going to happen.
If you
that's
go with like really a phonetic spelling instead, if I worked at the Times, I would change my name to Kristi Noem, and I would get 99% of her communications from within the Republican establishment. Yeah. I promise you.
In fact, we should just sign up for like all the misspellings of his administration at gmail.com and see what happens.
That's what you did with Joe
Rogan.
The way
you get Rogan.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Exactly. That is genuinely true. Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings us to the opposite of peace on earth. It's again just really, really tragic set of headlines. I'll start with the execution of a 37-year-old mother who was committing zero crimes by ICE agent Jonathan Ross. He would be the murderer. If you have the stomach for watching a fucking execution, I guess check out the video by the New York Times that shows exactly what actually happened, or the composite video analysis by CNN that gives even more detail. For everyone else, I guess I'll give you the basics. ICE agents were clearly furious that Renee Good and her wife Becca were alerting people in their Minneapolis neighborhood about ICE activity. And agents approached Renee in her SUV that was parked in the street. After some brief conversation, during which, importantly, Renee was smiling and completely calm, one agent in a mask approached her door, and Agent Ross, also wearing a mask, walked around to the front left of her vehicle, and Agent Ross was making a video with his phone. Then that first agent grabbed her door to try to pull her out. So Renee turned the wheel to the right. She actually backed up for a second, then she turned the wheel to the right and started driving away. As the vehicle passed close by to Agent Ross, he completely fucking panicked, pulled his gun, and shot Renee in the head through the windshield at point-blank range, and then shot her two more times through the driver's side window. So that's what happens when you send out a team of imbeciles with masks and guns and give them authority.
Yep.
Like, best case scenario, they're a neo-Nazi Gestapo who doesn't murder people. And it's never best case scenario. Well, since the news broke, we've heard Kristi Noem, Caroline Leavitt, and J.D. Vance, among others, all claim that Renee Good tried to run over Agent Ross and that he fired in self-defense. They're lying. They're liars, and they lied about that. And we know that by watching the video with our fucking eyes. There's one angle from one grainy video that emerged early on that kind of looks like Ross got slightly bumped to the side by the left side of the fender, like a little bit at slow motion. But every other video clearly shows he was off to the side at the time of the murdering, and the vehicle was obviously turning away from him, very importantly. And even if he did get slightly bumped to the side by the vehicle turning away from him to leave, The official correct response, and this is according to ICE policy, is not shooting the person in the head. You let him leave, obviously. Also, and this is crucially important, even in the counterfactual universe where the vehicle is coming straight at you instead of turning, and the driver has a big sign that says, "I'm running you over now," sticking out the sunroof. If you shoot the driver when they're 2 feet away, the SUV doesn't magically stop 1 foot away from you. That's insane.
But Heath, like, you're forgetting that Ross was once involved in a traffic stop where the person drove away and then dragged him with the car. So he was really, really scared when he executed good, which apparently that's a point in his defense. People are allowed to shoot innocent people in the street if they're scared because of something else that once happened to them. And that's fine now, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, you must be
sounds
new,
like
Marsh.
A point in favor of he should be fired because he's a bad police.
Certainly never
person.
Given a gun if he's that scared and jumpy with a gun. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fuckery didn't stop there. 2 days later, we got a new video published by a conservative news outlet called Alpha News, which appears to be the video that Agent Ross was recording on his phone. And it circulated in conservative circles and got cited as evidence that Ross was about to get run over. But the video doesn't even show the moment of the shooting or the moment that would have been when he was getting run over, according to their narrative. So that was nothing. It only shows the lead up, and then the camera points away right when it might be relevant. All we got was extra evidence about the obviously not a violent threat nature of Rene Good's entire interaction with the agents right before this happened.
You know, that's not all we got. We also got Ross calling her a fucking bitch after he just murdered her, which they thought that would be a piece of exculpatory evidence. This hate crime evidence was going to sort of in some really way exonerate insane. Him.
Who but a person deeply afraid would say that? Come on.
Yikes. But the craziest moment of lying came from Donald Trump. He was doing a live interview from the Oval Office with four reporters from the New York Times the evening after the murder. It was scheduled ahead. And obviously they had questions about the murdering when it was happening. Trump claimed that Ross got run over. Exact words from Trump. He was like, no, he got run over. And Trump claimed he was justified in doing the murder. The reporters, of course, explained that, no, you're an idiot. And then Trump said, I'll play the tape for you right now. So he called for his aide, Natalie Harp, to bring over a laptop. Side note, he calls Natalie Harp AI because her job is mostly Googling stuff for him and printing out the answer. So they all watched a slow motion video, and the reporters explained to Trump how the vehicle is obviously turning away and not running over the agent.
Yeah.
To which Trump responded, exact quote, well, I the way I look at it, it's a terrible scene.
Sorry, usually when I tell a crazy lie, it's just sort of an isolated moment and then I get to leave. Since when do you fuckers start asking follow-up questions? I don't understand what happened.
Okay, and just circling back, I'm pretty sure he calls Natalie AI because it's her job now to find him pictures of teenage girls in bikinis because he needs a hookup since Jeff died.
Yeah, we'll get to some more of that story too. And just one other small thing about the new year. We took over Venezuela, the country. Turns out the giant fleet of ships holding newspapers and whistling that they amassed right near the most oil-rich country in the world was exactly what everyone said it was. And same for the absurd lies about the foreign invasion by Venezuela used to justify ICE and the National Guard using the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And same for the lies about murdering alleged cocaine traffickers to alleviate the fentanyl crisis. That one didn't really make sense either. It was all leading up to a coup that Trump's been planning for a while. We called it Operation Absolute Resolve. A Delta Force team flew in, blew up some stuff along the way, killed about 80 Venezuelan military personnel, and kidnapped Nicolas Maduro along with his wife. He's a corrupt fascist who blatantly stole an election. But obviously, those can't be the charges from Trump. So the claim is that he's a kingpin of cocaine trafficking, and now he's being held in Brooklyn, New York, awaiting prosecution on whatever evolving set of charges we eventually land on. So, mission accomplished? Like, what are you guys thinking?
I think at this point, the Trump administration is doing so many evil things. We'll all just be, you know, too busy getting the legal and master's degrees needed to comment on how evil they are to stop them, right? It's like, oh, God, I gotta see where Venezuela is on a map now.
Yeah, and I don't think they've fully thought this through, because have they considered that getting arrested and then brought into Brooklyn was part of his plan all along? I've seen The Dark Knight. You know, this was part of the villain's plan the entire time, to get into America. It's really hard to get into America if you're from Venezuela. But I like the fact that they kidnapped the wife as well. And I don't know if that's because, like, they hate to break up a loving home. And they're such a sweet couple, it'd be a crime to separate them.
Sure.
Or have they just seen a few too many movies and they're just heading off the plot twist where the wife was the power behind the throne all along and, like, he was just the front man of it?
Well, we kidnapped both of them either way. So, following the coup, Trump obviously got the question of who's going to be running Venezuela now? And apparently the answer is we are. But our puppet master leadership is going to be mostly a work from home remote position.
Ooh.
Marco Rubio's got lots of stuff going on between, you know, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, National Archivist, Key Grip, Best Boy. So he's going to be Viceroy of Venezuela over Zoom, I guess. Plus, the humidity down there, that would really rust up his machinery. Rubio tried to give a little speech about our new colony last week, and he sounded like dangerously dry in his face, like a serious medical issue.
Okay, to be fair, the only person expecting to be installed puppet leader of Venezuela less than Marco Rubio is me.
Yeah, I'd enjoy it to find out how Eli would run Venezuela. I don't know. Could be cool.
Show me where we are on a map. Don't be weird. Just show it to me.
Hey,
okay,
yeah,
I was right-ish.
We get to fire everybody who can't point out Venezuela on a map without labels.
Marsh, like, I think Keith that should is be trying the starting to fire point. Me and you have to stop him. You're the tie-breaking vote and you have to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting fired as well at this point. I mean, I'm a freelancer. It's fine. I think I'm fine. I'm safe.
Okay. Well, I do think we're going to end up using a lot of that oil that we're stealing to lube up Rubio's fucking Tin Man robot mouth.
Yeah.
But don't worry. We also have a genuine Venezuelan person to be the puppet president. Now that we finally got rid of the hated Maduro, we installed Maduro's vice president, Delcy Rodriguez.
Yeah.
She's the new acting president of Venezuela now. Trump and Rubio could have installed the actual winner of Venezuela's 2024 election, which was Edmundo Gonzalez. And he's a right-wing conservative who you would have assumed they liked. And Gonzalez was really just a proxy candidate for Maria Machado, the main leader of the opposition party to Maduro. Machado is the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, and she dedicated her prize to Donald Trump. So she seems like another obvious pick who's better than Delcy, at least in their head. But apparently Trump's offended that Machado didn't literally hand him the little gold medal trophy from Nobel. Trump's planning to meet with her next week, and he announced ahead that he would accept the prize if she offers it, like the little trophy, and he wants it. But this was great. The Nobel Committee heard about that and immediately announced, no, you can't share, transfer it. It doesn't count, whatever you think you're doing.
Yeah,
no.
Non-fungible Nobel Prize, yeah.
And I want her to put a new plaque on it with my name, not hers. I don't want to be like that guy who collects, like, the Oscars. I want people to think I won it. And then I'll say that's my Nobel Prize, which is technically true.
And it's so bad. Like, Trump was salty about losing a competition he was obviously never in. That's not how it works. That he's now using bombs, kidnapping, and war crimes to extort the Nobel Peace Prize from the real winner. And it's genius. No one ever thought of that before. Why try and win the Nobel Prize yourself when you can just beat up whichever nerd wins it and steal it from them? Like, by definition, they won the Nobel Peace Prize. They're not going to fight back.
Exactly.
You can just take it from them.
Get yourself that Peace Prize with some violence. That just makes sense, strategy-wise, of course. Well, regardless of who ends up being the regional manager of Venezuela, all that's left is phase three profit. We just continue spending enormous amounts of money on our imperial armada, America First, good times. We keep pirating oil from Russian and Chinese tankers. We've done that already a little bit. We tell American oil companies to fire up a giant operation in the middle of the extreme chaos in a country where the entire oil industry got nationalized two presidents ago. And then American voters who can't afford healthcare and rent should be seeing a solid nickel or two in savings at the gas pump in like 3 years if all goes well. Or maybe World War III. So hard to say. We'll see how it goes. I'm telling you, Marsh, you got to get the pad thai.
Pad thai, it's just so basic.
Oh, not theirs, I'm telling you.
All right, guys, ready to go?
Yeah, it's like 40 degrees out.
Yeah, and you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, so let's walk fast, am I right? Come on, let's... you guys
Eli, is this because that's the one outfit you got a compliment on that one time and now you wear it every time we go out?
What? No, I just... like these sandals.
Right, it was snowing this morning, though.
What are you, the weatherman? Just constant.
Look, Eli, if you need an upgrade so you can feel great about your winter fit, why don't you try Quince?
What's Quince?
Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality so you stay warm, look sharp, and feel your best all season long.
That's right. Quince has everything you need. Mongolian cashmere sweaters, wool coats, and leather and suede outerwear that actually holds up to daily wear and still looks good.
Plus, by cutting out the middlemen and traditional markups, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price.
Amazing. But have you guys actually tried this stuff?
I sure have. Quince hooked me up with one of those cashmere sweaters, and it's my favorite. Looks great, and it was a fraction of what I'd pay somewhere else. That's why I, Heath Enright, personally endorse Quince.
All right, fellas, where do I sign up?
Refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/skeptocrat for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/skeptocrat. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/skeptocrat.
All right, guys. Thanks. You ready to go?
Ready.
Oh, and Marsh, don't let him order it spicy. He cannot handle spicy.
I can too handle it.
Last time he cried.
That it was joy. It was joy.
And we're back. And next up in headlines, in Nude Kids on the Grok news,
fantastic.
Elon Musk, the visionary inventor, worst person on the internet, and man who's shown us that the march of technology is a goose step, he's granted we simple mortals a new update to the AI that nobody needed or wanted, Grok. And, you know, he's got a high bar to meet with his upgrade because the last innovation for Grok involved stealing Wikipedia and editing out all the icky wokeness about topics like civil rights, white genocide, and inheriting emerald mines from your apartheid apologist father. And the update before that was to code Grok to answer every query with a proclamation about how Elon is the smartest, fittest, strongest, and most special boy who ever lived.
Yeah, given that every Grok update so far has been a bizarrely transparent fulfillment of Elon Musk's fantasies, it makes this story even creepier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, remember when Grok literally declared itself Mecha Hitler? Those were good times. This new update is way less fun and upbeat than the genocidal hive brain.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. Because
Marsh,
this latest tech innovation is adding a functionality to Twitter that allowed users to ask Grok's generative AI functions to edit any image uploaded to the site and show them whatever they wanted to see in it. And because this was Twitter, users inevitably use this shiny new function to deepfake women into revealing outfits like micro bikinis against their wishes. That included female users who were just happening to post innocuous photos of themselves, like at the gym or at work, only to find that literally within seconds, someone had asked Grok to fake them into a non-consensually explicit pose in ways that women understandably found humiliating and dehumanizing.
Okay, but if someone were planning to do that to, like, a convention organizer and then maybe create a website of the pictures, we can all agree that that would be hilarious and fine,
or,
right?
Like, or that's a convention organizer emeritus.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah,
great way to justify all those photos that I've already sent you of me in a bikini, Eli. I like it.
Nailed it.
Plausible deniability. Also, because this was specifically the version of Twitter that's been molded by Musk's own free speech absolutist, asterisk, handbrakes off,
right.
Guardrails yeah. down, unhinged mode sensibilities, those deepfake porn edits inevitably included underage girls. So Musk has delivered the internet's premier source of bespoke, instantly available child sexual abuse material featuring whichever tween happened to have caught the user's eye.
Okay, so I'm not a big fan of ICE.
You've mentioned that.
But stay with me. If we already paid for the murderous idiots to kick down doors and arrest people, maybe, I don't know, maybe we just do a little pivot and have them do something useful, right?
Yeah. The government's already shown they're willing to kidnap people. Just kidnap the right people. It's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, yeah, understand, they're not doing their jobs.
Yeah, I want Dean Cain running around trying to catch these people.
So understandably, this all caused a bit of a shitstorm in countries that aren't America. I think going after pedophiles isn't exactly the priority one for the Trump administration, given that you will literally invade half of South America rather than admit the extent of Trump's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, no, you're right. The US is not doing well with this. But it's nice to see the UK staying on task and making that guy change his last name from Of York to Mountbatten Windsor. That's why he's got to get all new business cards now. That's vigilance.
Yeah, that's such an inconvenience room. It's a real faff. It's an absolute faff. But still, in countries where we tend not to elect child sex predators after we knew that they did it, this has been a real scandal.
Sorry, Marsh, we? Because I got some receipts about the motherland there.
Look, and if you read news outlets like Newsweek, you'd have seen that Grok was forced to apologize for having generated a sexualized image of two girls under the age of 16. Except, no, it didn't. That's fucking stupid. Grok's apology wasn't a sign of contrition or an acknowledgement of wrongdoing by the company. It was an AI response to a prompt from a user who requested Grok to write a heartfelt apology note that explains what happened, which is literally nothing. And it is fucking embarrassing that news outlets reported that as if it was an actual apology.
Either way, when you apologize for making pedophile content, you can't use all those M dashes. It's gauche. It looks ridiculous.
Now, in most countries, the creation of child sexual abuse material is a crime, as is the possession of such material. And I say most countries because I've not been keeping up with the Supreme Court. You know, they've got the whole shadow docket. There's a good chance they forced through an update to placate the obvious paedophile currently throwing bombs at as many countries as it takes to keep the Epstein files out of the news.
Okay, I'll have you know that we are doing our best over here to keep it off Samuel Alito's desk that the Virgin Mary was probably 12. Okay, so...
But
we're trying.
Given that creating photos like this is a crime, the action of Twitter's AI have very obviously committed a crime here. And their response was to just delete the image and then delete the account of the person who requested the image, which is like a child porn dealer getting caught and then just ripping up the photo that they were trying to sell and then giving the feds the name of the person they were selling it to and thinking that's fine. Now, obviously, you'd still go to jail for that. But not apparently if you're the ghost of a formerly functional social media platform who won't even get a slap on the wrist from this, really.
Yeah, it's more like the child porn dealer ripping up the photo, giving the pornographer a new ID and setting him up with a job at a different church in a different city and not fucking telling anyone.
Yes, yeah. And then, okay, there's an additional legal question that's raised here because, as I say, it's not just the creation of those images that's a crime. The possession and viewing of those images is itself also a crime. And it's not the kind of crime you can get out of by saying, I didn't intend to see these. But Twitter just created that image and then put it onto the timelines of anyone who happened to be served it algorithmically. Meaning that Twitter created a child porn image and then went up to people in the digital town square and just showed them this image whether they wanted to see it or not. And now, at least technically, all of those people could be arrested under child porn laws. And still, Twitter is facing almost no consequences for this.
Okay, Marsh, I understand what you're saying, but if the algorithm thinks you should get that image, I have questions about why your algorithm says that.
Okay, that's fair. That is fair.
Okay, but let's be fair to, you know, some of the other corporations out there. We had some good actors in this whole saga. Apple, for example, heard about this news, and they changed the rating for Grok on the App Store from 12 and up to 13 and up.
Exactly. I think that was the rating of which images they're allowed to use. Like 12 is too young for Apple, but 13, they're like, okay, that's fair game at that point for Grok's images, I think. Look, there've been some calls for Twitter.
Hebophile.
There've been some calls for Twitter to be held accountable for this, but even some suggestions that the app be banned in the UK until they stop producing on-demand child porn like an Uber Eats, but for nonces. But those suggestions have been met genuinely by threats from Tommy Robinson to riot if Twitter gets banned over this, because apparently it's going to be an assault on your free speech rights to stop you photoshopping children you know into their underwear, apparently. And quick reminder, Tommy and his ilk say they're just trying to protect our women and children from Muslim immigrants. That's their entire motivation, the protection of our women and children. And I guess it's because they think those women and children are for white Christian men to abuse, actually.
It is a territory.
None of these foreign sorts. Still, that's not to say that Twitter haven't taken some remedial action here, because 2 weeks after they were caught creating child sexual abuse material, they have restricted the use of the edit photo feature to Twitter's paid subscribers. You know, dust off your hands,
cool.
Pat yourself on the back, job well done here. Because yeah, clearly the issue here was that users were using Grok to create their own deepfake illegal porn for free. That's obviously a subscription feature. If you want to be able to sexually humiliate every female who crosses you online, regardless of which school grade they might be in, that's going to cost you at least the price of a coffee a month.
Yes.
All right. Well, luckily for us, that microphone we disguised as a God Emperor Warhammer figurine still remains untouched at Grok HQ. So we can all hear how Elon and the crew are taking the news. Let's roll that tape.
And then he said, what about a feature where I can blow up people's phones?
Over Twitter?
I mean, I assume so.
Yikes. Not great.
Canuck, canuck.
Hi. Elon.
Did you guys hear me say knock? It's because I won't be silenced.
Yeah, no, yeah, we heard. Did you need something?
Whoa. What's with the aggro? Can't I just drop into chat with my head Grok engineer guys? Like, hey, have you guys played Expedition 33?
Yeah, actually I have.
I actually just beat it on the hardest setting.
Oh, nice. I've not actually played it yet. What's it about?
What?
The game?
Dude.
It's about 33 expeditions.
Right. Sorry, Elon.
Fine. You guys caught me black-handed. I do actually have a couple of quick updates to tell you about.
Sorry, did you say black-handed?
Don't ask.
One, we just refilled all the glyph bars in the break room. So, like, go to town on those. Got the peanut butter and the chocolate chip one, too.
Yeah, got it. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. And also, people are like using the new image gen model to make child porn out of real kids.
Sorry, they're what?
Yeah, like nude pictures of 15-year-olds or whatever is not a big deal. We locked that feature behind the paywall. So it's like, you know, it's like all good in the hood. Yeah.
It is a moral imperative that I kill you and then myself.
Yeah,
sure.
Lot of people saying that to me this week. Well, I'm going to get back to Exhibition 33. I still have like 4 exhibitions to go.
I thought you said you beat it.
Yep, it's that one. And in boop-boop-dee-doo diligence news.
Oh, okay, that is a good one, Eli. Credit where it's boop-boop-dee-doo.
Thank you. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, podcast listener. Every skeptic, yes, every, has a secret crazy. Sometimes it's something fun, like Noah's obsession with video game history, Heath's deep love of economic theory. Sometimes it's bizarre, like Michael Marshall's belief that everyone with cerebral palsy is, quote, faking it.
Okay.
But if you'd like to know mine, it's that secretly,
podcast-verse thing.
Deep down, I think copyright is bullshit.
Okay, yeah, your views on copyright are why I'm happy that I'm technically only a freelancer with Puzzle and Thunderstorm. Like, no court in the land could legally tie me to any of your behavior.
For so many reasons. And look, I know you would love for me to lay out all the arguments of Kinsella's against intellectual property, which I'm pretty sure I understand super well and would do a great job of explaining. But unfortunately, your fellow audience members can't handle the hottest IP takes of 2008 through the lens of an expert with a BFA in drama like myself.
Okay, basically, Kinsella was arguing that a Fremen on the land can't have his mind be detained on the highway of ideas. Therefore, intellectual property actually violates, I don't know, 19th century admiralty law, so it can't exist.
It's a great argument. It's
an
a great
entire
argument.
Book about that.
It's a great argument, and I buy it completely. So instead, I will regale you with all of the things that entered the public domain this year, so you can make the officially branded pornographic fan fiction these properties deserve.
And if you can't be bothered to make that yourself, you can actually just ask Grok to do it for you. You know, if you ever wanted to see Winnie the Pooh in a micro bikini rimming an underage Mickey Mouse, you know, have at it. Grok will do that for you. Just
cool.
don't be upset if it ruins you seeing Winnie the Pooh get his head stuck in a honeypot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened to Mountbatten Windsor, too.
So before we jump in, I want to give a shout out to Duke Center for the Study of the Public Domain for collecting and publishing much of this information. You might not be Anna's archive, but deep down, I know you all wish you worked there, too. So let's start with the headlines. Betty Boop and Blondie, who joined Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh in the public domain this year. Does that mean we'll see a Blood and Honey sequel incorporating them both? One can only hope.
Okay, I had no idea what or who Blondie was. And for a moment, I assumed you meant Debbie Harry had entered the public domain, which would have been very big news for an entire generation of men my dad's age. That's for sure.
Okay, so Blondie is the comic strip from 1930.
Okay,
and the husband of Blondie, Dagwood, he likes to have some sandwiches that are way too big. Also, there's Blondie who's a lady person, a lady person.
Yeah. We also got quite a few additions from the literary world this year. Nancy Drew, Sam Spade, and one of Marcia's side of the pond, Miss Marple, all became public domain this year.
Okay, I like the idea of fictional detectives having their universes collide, and some of them have to lose and get it wrong.
Exactly, yeah. Go at it. But Eli, you say, I am a learned man of words. Are there books Heath would hate in the public domain this year? Indeed there are. William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying entered the public domain this year, as did The Little Engine That Could and the Elson Basic Readers, which were the first appearances of the infamous runners and jumpers, Dick and Jane.
Okay, hey, on behalf of the public domain, no thank you, William Faulkner, we're all set.
But what of the world of cinema? Well, you can do whatever you'd like with All Quiet on the Western Front, two Marx Brothers movies, Animal Crackers and Soup to Nuts. You can even have your way with permanent proof that they can't all be bangers, Alfred Hitchcock's Murder! Exclamation point.
Okay, but that's nice, though, that All Quiet on the Western Front comes out of copyright just in time for the start of World War III. You know, for anyone who wanted to recap what happened in the previous editions before the latest one comes
out. Exactly.
Marsh, we're trying to do IP, so we don't have to talk about World War III.
Exactly, yeah. And last but certainly not least, we've got some tunes for you. Open your ears for Carl the Pug-a-Peg-a-Corn and Sarah Huckabee Sanders to serenade you with Gershwin tunes like I've Got Rhythm and Embraceable You on the shows this year. Or settle in with a little Georgia on my mind or dream a little dream of me.
All right. Musicians can finally use rhythm changes like 1-4-2-5 in their music.
Nice.
Cool. Yes. Public domain. Finally.
There's a few more to name, but I'll let those interested explore on their own. Either way, I can't wait to see what the future holds, especially now that Blondie's free to do what she wants without Dagwood holding her back.
And next up in headlines, we're also taking Greenland to go with Venezuela. And give it a bit more time. We'll be hearing about Canada again too, I'm sure.
And are we safe? Am I safe, Heath? Am I safe?
No,
I don't
absolutely
feel safe.
Not. Absolutely. We're still mad about that whole thing from whenever it was. Yeah. So here's my theory of how this all evolved in Trump's head. At some point during his first term, he called in some nerds and said something like, who has the best diggy stuff? And once the nerds figured out what the fuck he was talking about, they told him that Venezuela and Canada have lots of oil and that Greenland has lots of valuable minerals and rare earth elements, and also possibly oil and natural gas. The nerds probably also mentioned that enormous pieces of land that are far from the equator are only going to get more valuable. So in August of 2019, Trump just casually floated the idea of buying Greenland. It was one of those, you know, joke but not really things, like a soft open on the bidding for butt stuff. He got laughed at back then, but now it's different. He just did some, well, like actual butt stuff in Venezuela, and he didn't get any real blowback yet. So now he's doing Greenland.
Okay, yeah, you do not want blowback after butt stuff. That's the last thing you want.
Yeah, what do we always say about ass to mouth? And this time he's thinking about an offer that's a bit more specific regarding Greenland. According to Reuters, he's talking about just sending 57,000 checks out, one for each person in Greenland. And the number would be somewhere in the range of $10,000 to $100,000 each for each of those people. At the high end, that's $5.7 billion total.
Okay. And then bear in mind, with that money, once they're Americans, that money would cover them if they, I don't know, stub their toe and need to see a doctor once to check if it's broken.
Yeah, exactly.
As
yeah.
long as the doctor didn't give them aspirin, because they'd have to pay out of pocket for that.
So that idea about sending out the checks got leaked last week. And I guess Trump was expecting like 57,000 Venmo requests, but they didn't come in within the first couple days. So now he's feeling jilted. And during a White House event, he issued a message to Denmark and Greenland saying, quote, I'd like to make a deal the easy way, but if we don't do it the easy way, we're going to do it the hard way.
By losing a world war.
And of course, Trump called Stephen Miller out of his underground fish pond in the Misty Mountains near Goblin Town to do some media appearances and sell the idea. That includes an interview last week with Jake Tapper, during which Miller defended the idea of annexation. Tapper said, so you can't take it off the table that the U.S. would use military force to seize Greenland. And Miller said, approximate quote, I know you're trying to do some kind of like elaborate journalistic ruse and get yourself a headline. I'm not going to fall for it. And Tapper said, you mean asking a question? I'm trying to get you to answer a question.
Ha ha! Touché, my brilliant enemy. Smoke bomb! Nope, just my watch.
And yeah, I love the elaborate in there. Like there's some complex Rube Goldberg machine involved in making Tapper essentially repeat what they've said, but with an upward inflection, which is what yeah. he's doing. It's
one of those journalism tricks, yeah. And then Miller continued answering by not answering and claiming that nobody's fighting the U.S. military over Greenland. So the answer was yes, to be clear. Military action is definitely on the table. Also worth noting, 2 hours after the Maduros got kidnapped, Stephen's wife, Katie Miller, our colleague, posted an image of Greenland colored in with the American flag and the word soon. That being said, she recently claimed her husband is, quote, a sexual matador. So, yeah, Katie Miller says a lot of things.
Okay, but by sexual matador, she means that he spends a lot of time in their bedroom trying to avoid her bull.
Yeah. Also, when Heath refers to Katie Miller as our colleague, he means she's a podcaster. She hasn't been, like, filling in for us now and then, now that Marsh is too busy hanging out with Cecil to take my calls. But who knows? Loneliness does a lot of things to a man, Marsh. Loneliness does a lot of things.
Do it, man. If you do hire Katie Miller, I will let you take every one of the worst ad sponsors that pitch to you. And then you can, like, get her to just deliver the most absolutely dead inside copy reads of pure bullshit. It'd be
this
amazing.
Is my path to CBD bullshit. I knew that. There was a way. There's a will and there was a way.
All right. Well, this is all terrifying, but don't worry. There might be one guardrail left. During Trump's interview with the Times last week, he seemed to be claiming that his ability to carry out military campaigns isn't really constrained by Congress or international law. So they asked him, are there any limits on what you do? And he said, this is an exact quote, there is one thing. My own morality, my own mind, it's the only thing that can stop me. End quote. So there you go. Trump's mind is what's protecting the World War III scenario from happening, possibly. Happy 2026.
Yeah.
Yeah, yikes. And in Don't Cross That Bridge news, less than a fortnight into 2026, it hasn't looked yet like this will be a year that sense prevails and the grinding slide into fascism relents. Your country is busy war-criming its neighbours and declaring itself rulers of entire hemispheres. Meanwhile, here in the UK, polls are showing that the Labour government is now behind both Reform and the fucking Tories in terms of popularity, with the committed English patriot Tommy Robinson now sending appeals to Donald Trump on Twitter asking that he sends over his forces to kidnap and depose our Prime Minister next. Just, you know, casual treason from the pint-sized cocaine enthusiast there.
Okay, well, based on the polling, that might be a suicide attempt soon enough, Marsh. You ever think of that?
Yeah. Some people voted for Jill Stein so that Trump could win and then lose. And and then win again, and then get bad polling now and kill himself. Accelerationism works. That's how it works. Oh, man.
I hope none of those people are talking about Renee Good's death like they're on our side. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, talking about accelerationism like it's a good thing, and then a fascist murder takes place, and you pretend like that's not exactly what you said you wanted?
Oh. I'm not giving a very public, contrite apology for ever having considered voting for Jill Stein.
I would kill myself is what I would do.
Same.
Well, with clouds as dark as these, we've got to celebrate any chunk.
Don't you push through, Marsh? Don't you push through my felony?
Always push through. With clouds as dark as these, we've got to celebrate the chinks of light wherever we can find them. Which is why I want to bring you actually good news from France this week, where a Paris court has found 10 men guilty of cyberbullying Brigitte Macron, the wife of French President Emmanuel Macron.
How's that possible? She's way too old to use the internet without asking her student, husband, without asking her husband.
This is bullying. You're like, hey, Marsh, if you're mad about any websites that are fucking up your SEO, I think I have an idea.
Okay.
You can tell France
That's
about
good.
It.
I can go to France. That sounds good. So this group of defendants included an internet fortune teller and also someone with even less professional credibility than that, an independent YouTube journalist.
Okay, I thought you were going to say mentalist, but okay, close enough.
Close, that's actually honestly.
So they found themselves in legal trouble after claiming that Brigitte Macron didn't actually exist, but was actually Jean-Michel Trognon, a man who changed his name and gender before marrying the French president. Which, if it were true, wouldn't be a problem at all, actually. Except, you know, it's not true. It's a lie that's being deliberately spread by transphobes who want to attack and undermine the Macrons more generally.
And she is one-third Jewish too? What do you mean you don't care about that either? You guys are impossible to bully. Can I say this?
So the fact that a dozen people in France were given suspended prison sentences for having said nasty things about the wife of the French leader might not sound like particular cause for celebration, other than, you know, it's always encouraging when bigots and transphobes are put in their place. But this case is actually likely to have further reaching ramifications, given that the Macrons are also taking legal action against the American conspiracy theorist and YouTuber Candace Owens for spreading these exact same rumors. Owens published a number of podcasts and social media posts spreading these exact same false claims, saying in March 2024 that she would stake, quote, her entire professional reputation on her belief that the First Lady is in fact a man. Which, you know, obviously, in terms of stakes, is actually marginally below me staking my entire ability to grow convincing facial hair. So, except the Macrons sued her for defamation, which means she's now also staking a large amount of the fortune that she's made as a right-wing conspiracy theorist and propagandist. And she has a lot more of that fortune than she has professional reputation, so she has a lot more to lose there. And at the time, Owens responded to that legal threat in a manner entirely befitting of her professional reputation. She doubled down, or possibly octupled down, releasing an 8-part YouTube series called Becoming Brigitte, where she alleged that not only was Brigitte Macron born a man, but that she was a blood relative of Emmanuel Macron, and that Macron was chosen to be France's president as part of a CIA-operated mind control program, and that the couple had committed forgery, fraud, and abuses of power in order to suppress all of this information. And actually, that last bit about the forgery, fraud, and abuse of power, that's the bit that could be particularly troublesome for Owens' defense, because that is a direct accusation of criminality, which is pretty clearly defamatory, even without any of the other gender stuff.
Okay, Marsh, you win. We'll watch the entire 11-hour playlist next time you're on GAM. I mean, you twist my arm.
Okay, first of all, two votes. That's awesome. Also, I feel like I see how dumb conspiracies like this can spread because of a little experience I have with this. So Jean-Michel, he's actually Brigitte's brother. He's just a guy in France. He's like 80 years old. He makes chocolates. That's what they do. So I searched for a photo of them together, and I couldn't even find a photo of him by himself in the present day. Now, that's nothing. That means nothing. But also, people are stupid. And now it's terrifying. This delightful chocolate shop in France has to deal with violent attacks by crazy people who heard about this conspiracy.
Yeah. So yeah, this French case is essentially the prelude to Owens's case in the US. And this ruling is actually a pretty bad sign for Owens. And even worse of a sign is her unhinged response to it, in which she doubled down further what is that? Is that non-upple down? Or is it sex decouple down? Because it'd be 16 because it's eight times two. I can't do the maths of it. Whatever the maths of it is. I don't know. Whatever the maths of it was. Owen responded by claiming that Brigitte is a dangerous man who in the past statutorily raped a student, by which he means Emmanuel Macron.
Ridiculous. He was 16 when they started dating, and that's not legally statutory rape. Hey, Marsh, sorry, real quick. Do I agree with Candace Owens?
I think you do on so many things, Candace, Eli. We've tried to talk you out of it. So many things.
Condemn Hamas right now.
Okay. So, yeah, given the comprehensive result in this French court and Owens' response being to repeat her accusations of criminality to an almost exponential degree, I think mathematically, we do at least have signs that there could be something to look forward to when Owens has to face the Macrons in court.
And finally tonight, in Sick of 6-7 news, as we move through the bad times, the years become harder and harder to define. Assuming I make it to old age, and that is a big assumption, I think I'll say something like, it was 2013, and then we sort of blacked out as a planet for a couple of decades, and then President AOC set all those people on fire with a flamethrower. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think if I'm asked when I'm older, I'm just going to go long on how much the UK totally crushed it with the opening ceremony of London 2012 Olympics, and then hope that kind of like filibusters any questions about any of the years that came after.
So this one time, I got to be the roller at a craps table at a casino, and I kept winning for like
a while. I was there. It was a long stretch. But luckily,
I chopped the head off a champagne bottle one time.
Yes, like, I was there for that too.
Popped off. It was cool.
A lot of cool. You got married?
Yep, those are the three things that I'm going to keep talking about right there.
In that order as well, weirdly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, obviously. But luckily, there are folk in no such state who keep track of things that matter. And I'd like to talk about them tonight with the word of the year and the most overused phrases of the year. Let's start with the words of the year. Dictionary.com picked 6-7 as their word of the year, while Merriam-Webster went with slop. And the Oxford University Press went with rage bait. This year, I hope to combine all three by rage baiting Luddites with my new AI slop themed snack shop, 6711.
Okay. So I feel like the real victim here is the rapper Skrilla. So I keep hearing that 6-7 is about nothing, and that's the like nihilist Gen Z appeal of it. But it's not nothing. It's from Skrilla's song, Doot Doot 6-7. And the song getting dropped into video edits of LaMelo Ball, the NBA player, and his highlights. And then eventually, some kid yelled 6-7 in a TikTok that he made during a high school basketball game. But you know, I'm sure Skrill is real excited that he inspired a story on our illustrious podcast of middle-aged white guys, where we have our finger on the pulse of pop culture.
And 2008 copyright law. But enough about the words of the year. Let's drag the words we hope to see never again. This comes to us from the Michigan College Survey of Overused and Misused Words, where the winner of the year once again was 6-7.
6-7?
Okay, so my favorite thing about all of the 6-7 annoyance is literally the only time I've heard anyone saying 6-7 has been when they've been complaining about all the people saying 6-7. I've genuinely never heard anyone say it for real. I've only ever experienced it through that sixception, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's confusing. You must have been at sixes and sevens.
Others on the list of overused terms were demure, incentivize, perfect, gift/gifted, my bad, and reach out. And fun fact, my bad and reach out also made the list decades ago in 1998 and 1994, respectively.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like, reach out made the list in 1994, but then those cold-called emails, they always loop back around to you in case you do, in fact, want whatever service they were offering. So I presume the email started with, I trust the last three decades have found you well.
Just bumping this to the top of your inbox. So you want to park fuckfuck.com?
Oh, I would love to park fuckfuck.com. So there you have it. The words to avoid and use in the coming years, or in reference to the coming years, whichever you're trying to do. And hey, if you fail to incentivize yourself and can't keep it demure, so you gift us some 6-7 slop, you can always say, my bad.
Okay, fuckfuck.com is available for sale, by the way.
What?
Just in case it is available.
I'm buying fuckfuck.com right now.
Marsh, get it.
Marsh.
I'm not doing it. It's probably going to be really expensive.
Everything is going to direct from your life to fuckfuck.com.
All right. On that note, we're going to close it out. Thanks to Michael Marshall. Thanks to Eli Bosnick. And thanks to all the listeners who liked us and followed us on all the various internets. Please keep doing that.
Not available.
And please keep telling your friends.
Fuckfuck.studio.
Dot studio?
Okay. Fuckfuck.club. That sounds good. Fuckfuck.pro. That's just asking to be investigated.
All right. All right. Now just keep letting us know in the background. Yeah. I'll keep going. And if you find the naive stupidity of our giving away our free show business model to be oddly charming, you can send us gifts of money at patreon.com/skepticrat. Just like all the generous new donors, you will be complimented next time around. And whether or not you're feeling financially benevolent like those fine people, if you enjoyed our brand of whimsy and you'd like to hear more dick jokes free of charge, check out our brother and sister shows, The Scathing Atheist, Godawful Movies, D&D Minus, and Citation Needed, possibly fuckfuck.com, available in all the podcast places. And Marsh, if people want to hear more from you, where can they go?
Apparently, fuckfuck.ninja.
.ninja, nice.
So, yeah, no, you can go to norogan.com and hear Cecil and I looking at Joe Rogan and getting to know the misinformation and correct the misinformation on his show. You can also go to look for Skeptics with a K podcast. That's the show where we do original skeptical investigative journalism. And we've been doing that for 17 years now. So, by all means, check that out if that's the kind of thing you're into.
Excellent, awesome, valuable stuff. We just have one last thing. Let's compliment that pianist. Special thanks to Ryan Slotnick of Evil Giraffes on Mars. He's the creator of the virtuosic musical stylings you heard today, which were used with permission. You should definitely check him out using the links we'll provide or by Googling the only band called Evil Giraffes on Mars. Until next time, catchphrase sign off. A 2-4-6. A 2-4-6.
Got the peanut butter and the chocolate. Got the peanut butter and the chocolate chip 1-2.
Sorry. The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and the Thunderstorm LLC, copyright 2026, all rights reserved.